This is interview number 3 with Joni Tillman, taking place in her home on April the 17th, 1991. The interviewer is Sherna Gluck. The microphone being used is the PZM microphone. I have this. I wanted to start by asking a couple of questions about the period up to 1960 when you come to LA. And one of the things I was interested, there were a couple of things I was interested in. And again, this is this notion of how people develop their ideas and how their life unfolds and how you get from here to there. You didn't remarry until into the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of things I was wondering. How was your life raising the two kids to start with when you were married compared to after you left your husband and then, say, the second kid was born?
I didn't have one child, my first child.
Right.
When he was 5 months old, by first marriage.
Oh!
And, I had gone back to the laundry where I had always worked after the war was over anyway. And as I said, I stayed in laundry work for 23 years. And, I don't have any children by my husband that I have now. Matter of fact, he never had children. And we didn't get married till 1979. And, but the children came, the other kids came between the Tillman marriage and, of course, when I think we got married, 11 years ago? My baby must have been about 18, 19. But, I raised the kids by myself, just like anybody else did, you know. I guess if you want to call me an unmarried mother or whatever.
A single woman,
that's what I was, and I had children. The children were I felt like this was my responsibility. They were mine. I had brought them here regardless of how they were conceived or who they were conceived from. They were mine, and my attitude was the best that I feel for them, and that's what I did.
Well, did you ever think it would be easier? Many women who were single mothers very often felt, and I've had some women say, well, I had no other choice for economic reasons. I had to remarry, that my life was just too hard. Did you ever feel that it was easier?
I never felt like that because I know of some total families that didn't do any better than I was doing as a single person with children. Their children, my children wasn't any hungrier than theirs. They had the same kind of clothes that they get because if I couldn't buy them, I made them for my girls. I had two girls. I could make shirts for my little boys. I used to go into we call it the secondhand store, you know, thrift shop.
Right, right.
And I would pick up little things where you can get 25 cents, a quarter, a dime, or whatever have you. I'd take them home. I would starch them and iron them real good and put them on my children. So I didn't, they were my responsibility, and I'd done for my children what my father did for me was the best that. I sent them to school. They all went to school. Some choose to graduate. Some choose not to graduate. But after they got a certain age, that was a fair choice. I have a daughter now who is a teacher. She's not teaching because her little child is small. I got one daughter who takes care of sick people, my baby. She's a nurse, and she's getting ready to go into nursing training professionally. I have a son, my second son. He's a hustler. He does what he want to do. As long as he's not hustling drugs, it's all right with me. But that's what he does for a living. Mm-hmm. He has a wife and six children. My oldest son works at Martin Luther King Hospital. Been there since he was 19 years old. As a matter of fact, he was there before the hospital was built. Now he can build things. He puts in floors. Mm-hmm. He's done my kitchen. Mm-hmm. And he puts in heating and mm-hmm. cooling systems and things like that. I got one daughter who's an artist, but she has a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got my oldest daughter makes yard sprinklers. So they all are gone, yeah, now. But I have heard women use that phrase, well, I have to have somebody, or I used to hear girls on the job saying, well, it's getting cold, I got to find me somebody to help me through the winter, to help pay the gas bill, like that. I have never depended on nobody like that. I was raised to be an independent person, and that's what I've done.
Did you ever have any regrets that you didn't marry between the two men?
No, I didn't, because I think what I've done, I think I should give my first husband credit for being able to sit here and talk to you today, because I think if I hadn't had to leave him, I probably would have still been down in Arkansas somewhere now, or you know, never gone anywhere, never been seen anything. So I don't have any kind of, matter of fact, I'm really glad that we did have a problem and that he found somebody else that he needed to stay there, because I don't think he's ever been anywhere in Chicago. And then I've had an opportunity, and my children have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my girls went to boarding schools in the South. One of them, she just left here. She went to North South Carolina to a Master's Academy there, from there to Philander Smith College in Arkansas. I don't know if I had stayed there, would they have been able to do that.
Mm.
I don't know if Ron would have been able to do what he do in his building and in his trade. I'm not sure about that.
Why do you think it would have been different?
Because I think the husband I had was not into, he was into the situation like his father was, you know, he would go to work, back home, wife go to church and whatever, have you, and that was it. And that ain't what I wanted to do at first. Matter of fact, when I was growing up, I never saw myself being married and with a white house, with a white picket fence and pitter-patter of little feet either. You know, so I had got the little feet, but I run the best I could for the little feet, put some shoes on.
Well, why did you change your mind and get married?
Well, I guess you change your mind about just about like anything else. I guess you know, everybody else is doing it, so why not? You know, so but it didn't last, and I'm very glad, and I've had a great opportunity to help other people. Talk to young people, to leave some kind of ideas, or express my ideas with other people. Some it's helped and some it probably have not helped, but I had an opportunity to do it. I've had an opportunity to travel around. I think I've visited about over 800 cities. I think I've been in all states in the United States except six. I've been in some countries like the Philippines, I've been in Scandinavia. I studied social welfare in Scandinavia and in Europe for 30 days. You know, that was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
In 89, I got a chance to visit Cairo. I was down in Alexandria in Egypt, and I had a cruise down the Nile. So I'm not so sure that if I had stayed there in James Tillman in Arkansas, I would have had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it paid off for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What names, family names, did you use for your other children? Your father's family name?
No, I used him. Okay. Let me tell you something about the law.
Mm-hmm.
In Arkansas, until about 20 years ago, if you had a child, regardless, whatever your name was, that was the child's name if you weren't married. Okay, the law said, for instance, if I hadn't ever been married, my children's would have used my maiden name. Mm-hmm. That was the law. They just changed it about 20 years ago. They changed. That's that was the law for that particular state. I don't know if other states had that law or not. And so all my children use his last name. So.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting because, you know, I think in some states, on the birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
they force women to give the father's name if they want, you know, if there's any kind of relationship or not. And then regardless of what the woman's name is,
mm-hmm.
they used to give the children the father's name. If some states,
this particular state in Arkansas,
that's interesting.
They didn't. You couldn't put a child into a father's name if you wasn't married to him. In fact, until 20 years ago, then they changed the law.
And then when they changed it, you were able to give the child any name. Like if you wanted to give them your father's name, you could have.
Okay. But if you weren't married to a person then, so whatever your name was, if you had never been married, then your child used your name, whatever your name was. So if my name was Johnny D. Percy, that was my maiden name. I would have, if I had had a child before I was married, that child would have had Percy's name. But I was married before I had any child. And I used Tillman until I still use it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
and so that's all my children's name.
Okay.
And they know who they are, but this hair's not important to them. So they're not into what I done or who's what or that kind of stuff. They say I'm their mother and their father, and they don't deal with nothing else.
Yeah, well, I think that there's just a very different attitude amongst different people.
That's right.
And they try to impose on everybody the notion, you know, that there should be a father with his name and a mother and, you know, 2.4 children.
Well, you know, we had as black folk, and I have to speak about black folk, especially in the South, we had extended families. And If you took care of me, I could wear your name.
Yeah.
You know, I became yours. No adoption.
Right.
No papers and all that kind of stuff. You became my mother. And I wore your name.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody questioned it. Nobody criticized. Nobody made the child feel bad. The child was loved. The child had a roof over his head. And you treated the child as your own. That was your child. Mm-hmm. You know, the laws came in and got rid of all of that, and I think it's been a total disaster to some people. Because most people will say, well, you know, maybe your mother passed away or your mother had to go away, but the child didn't care.
Right. And there's a long history. Well, you know, in most societies, that's true.
Yeah.
That you have an extended family, and there's not a big issue of who is the biological parent.
Right. Right.
That you have an extended family and they view it as just...
I think the laws, though, have changed that and has made things worse for people.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, the adoption situation. Now, you go through all this thing to get to adopt a child, but you got to tell the child that it was adopted and you got it when it was a day old. I mean, but what difference does it really make?
This culture... Mainstream American culture makes a big deal about biological parenthood. And that's not true in most places in the world.
We grew up, I've known back in the South, a lot of white families raised black children. Because if something may happen, the mother may have died, she was a good worker, she might have been a damn maid, there was nobody else to take the child, so he stayed there. You know, and he worked. And they allowed him to leave whenever he got grown or wanted to leave. You know that. And so, and same way with some white folk. I know some black folk who have raised white kids. Mm-hmm. And you better not tell him that wasn't his mama or his father. You can call him nigger love or anything that you want to, but they remember that person that fed them and clothed them and kept them warm and loved them. that's the way they remember. They didn't see her as a nigger or a black person like that. And you want to get in trouble, you mess with one like that. So it's been like that down through the years. But I've known people that just come and take kids, not steal them, but they needed some help. Their mothers and fathers have died and left children. They look around, there's no relative to take them. All relatives said they couldn't take them or they didn't want to be bothered. You just come get this child and take care of this child. That's what you got to
say. Or even at that one time that your brother took
those people that just
for 2 years. I think that that's just very common amongst,
two years.
It's not what, you know, the larger white middle class society says.
Oh, well, they told that when my brother got this back hurt and they had to go on aid for a while, well, they had this child. So then they couldn't aid this child with the family, because he had to run around and say who the child is and all that kind of stuff. So when they moved back here, they finally got permission. They were giving her $41 a month. My sister-in-law for the child. When they got back here, we got a call from a social worker one day, went down to Adams and Grant, and they was out there telling us that we should think about adoption. Now, this girl got 7 kids of her own. And out there, she and I are supposed to talk about she adopted my baby. She just kept the child because I didn't have nowhere to leave it and I had to go to work. And she wasn't working.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
It's not.
But those are the ones that kept my daughter. Mm-hmm. They just left that. They still raising the baby. That's their grandbaby. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we were still living in Arkansas, your life must have been pretty busy raising the kids. But did you belong to any sorts of organizations or groups? I know there was no union there.
PTA and about church. Is about
Oh, you went back to church?
We're back to church when I get ready.
Well, were you part of a group in the church then?
No, but we used to have something called Bible studies.
Mm.
And the lady that headed it, I really liked her. And she was very helpful with my children and stuff. And I always liked to sit with her. And we would go around in the project to different houses and read and, you know, that kind of, what they call it, a Bible circle, I believe.
And this was in Little Rock?
Uh-huh.
Still,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And was it a women's group?
Yeah, there were no men in it.
Uh-huh.
Women.
Was it a women's group by design, or there were just no men interested?
No, I think the women's auxiliary they had in the Methodist church then, you know. So, and her daughter and I were good friends.
Mm.
So we would read, and they had a blind lady in there, she read Braille, and she was a good speaker. Mm. I like being around them and being with them.
Is this a group that would just meet for a Bible study at a certain time, or would you see them other times too?
Well, some of the people in the lady who headed it up, I saw her daughter and I were very close.
Because
when we wasn't in Bible study, we'd be down at the nightclub when we had a
chance. So when we had a chance to study the Bible.
Yeah. Every Bible go down and get to study the Bible. Well, she had children also, so we could find babysitters, we'd take off together.
And is she still there?
Yes,
is
she still there.
And you were also active in the PTA?
PTA, my kids went to school.
What sort of activities did you do in the PTA?
Well, you know, you attend the meetings and the teas and I guess more or less little social things, you know, Sunday afternoon teas. And then you have the meetings with the parents and teachers meeting, you know, those kind of things. Usually they always had them in the evenings because most of us worked.
But you were never an officer or anything?
No.
Was there a split between the mothers who worked and the mothers who didn't in terms of the PTA group?
No. Now, I never thought about anything like that. Some of the mothers then, in those days, didn't work, because we had some ladies who was on welfare, but it never bothered me. I didn't, and then they also had a law there, as if you had, wait a minute, how'd they have that thing? If you have been married and you had some children, you could get on welfare. If you hadn't ever had any, been married and had some children, you couldn't get on welfare. Because that didn't fit me because I had been married right. and had some children. But there were some girls. I got a girlfriend now who, I think she had 5 or 6. And until that law changed about 20 years ago, she wasn't able to get any assistance. And she worked all of her life. And she raised all of her kids. I think she had 5.
Now, during this period, when you had problems or wanted to talk things through with someone, who would you turn to?
Problems? You know, it's a strange kind of feeling, kind of situation for me. I really never felt like I had any problems. If I did have, I guess you would call, now that I look at it, maybe it was a problem, I had an aunt that I was very close to. As a matter of fact, she passed away out here in 81. Mm-hmm. I had fought her here. She was my mother's baby sister.
Oh, she's the one that you lived with when you went to high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I brought her here when her son, only son, passed mm-hmm. in the 78. She died in 81 here. She was my mother's youngest sister, and we could share. I could talk to her about most anything because she was a funny kind of person, a happy-go-lucky kind of person. So you could talk to her. Well, I never considered myself having a lot of problems, and maybe I did have her and didn't realize. I didn't know anything about strain and stress. I didn't know people got other strain and stress. I used to get up. Basically, after I had children, you get up in the morning, you be at the job, the first whistle blow at 7:25, the last whistle blow at 7:30. 7:30 whistle blow mean that you already at your presses. I probably done ironed a couple of shirts by then. You had a break, then you had lunch, then you have another break. At 4:30, you hit the clock and you go home. And I go home. As my son said, I used to come in the back door doing things and go to bed, get up the next morning, do the same thing. For a long time, I didn't even have a clock and was never late.
Was it six days a week or 5?
5 and a half days.
5 and a half. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday.
Saturday at noon, you go home.
And then Saturday,
mm-hmm.
you go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
If you could find a babysitter, you'd go dancing.
Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, if I would get the kids off Sunday school, go get me a nap. If I were dancing.
And then when was this Bible study group?
That'd be sometime through the week.
Oh, in the
evening, yeah.
Uh-huh. So you'd send the kids to Sunday school, but mm-hmm. you didn't go to church?
Not too often. Because a lot of times, see, Sunday school starts by 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to go to the building at 9 o'clock in the morning, so you get kids ready and you send them down the hill. It wasn't very far, like 12 Central Avenue. And then sometime I would go at 11 o'clock. You know,
so this was, that was the time for you, for yourself, to rest and get be by yourself.
At Easter time, holidays, my children was never without. Easter always come in the March of April, right? Right after Christmas, I put the Easter things in the layaway because they put all the stores with the stuff. You put it up in the layaway, you pay 50 cents, $1 a week, $2 a week, whatever you can spare on it. When Easter comes, they got all of this stuff out. Same way with Christmas. You put the stuff up in September when they put the toys and all the stuff out. You pay on it when Christmas comes, there you already had it there. So that was the way we lived.
Mm-hmm. Now, at Christmas time, would you spend it with you and the kids, or would your brothers and everyone get together, too?
Well, sometimes, my brother comes from, his wife comes from a very large family. Mm-hmm. They would get together a lot. We wasn't a large family. When my father was living, probably would go and see him,
mm-hmm.
or he would come by our house, and then, of course,
after Dave, my brothers moved to California, my father lived with me until he passed away, you know. So it wasn't, maybe Christmas Day we'd go to my aunt. She'll make sure that she, after I started having children, she always had their little gifts at her house. And she done a lot of cooking. We come out of the South. Christmas was a big day for us, you know. And I was trained to, you do a lot of baking.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do. I still do it now.
Mm-hmm. What kind of chores, as your kids got older, did they help out in the house?
They wash dishes. I don't care too much about my sons, I never ironed a shirt for them after they were 8 years old.
Yeah, not for ironing all day long, right?
Yeah, but my older son decided I didn't iron good enough for him, so he ironed them, which was good enough for me. And the youngest son, he didn't really care where you iron his at all. They were just different like that. But he would get up and press it himself. It never bothered me about things like that. My daughters are very much better housekeepers than I am. I've never been a good housekeeper, but they are.
Did you get, how much vacation time would you get from the laundry in Arkansas?
Well, we.
And how would you spend your vacations?
Well, especially when I always took it when I was at school. You know, and it was until a few years ago that I spent my vacation for what it was supposed to be. You always saved up June house cleaning or whatever for vacation time. So that's where I spent it. I put everything off so while I would be on vacation. Next week I'd do this and that, and that's what I would do. I just started in about 72.
To take a real vacation.
Take a real vacation. Mm. Go somewhere I don't do nothing. And I try to go somewhere every time I take it. Because if you stay home, you will not have vacation.
Yeah. I know that.
They don't let, no, and you, your friends and family won't let you have no vacation. You stay home.
I wanted to ask you another question about the Arkansas period. You said that the laundry was a pretty big plant.
Yeah.
And they were both white and black workers there. What was the relationship like, let me just ask the question and I'll flip it over, between the white and black workers? Did you have any contacts, any kinds of relationships with the white?